You know, this scripture just came to my mind, and that's the book of John. It says, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. And what comes to my mind is that God is interested in our prospering when it comes to our health. So as a congregation, we should be interested in health, you know, because that's part of God's desire for us as a congregation. And that's why I have that scripture. Then I will share a story just to share with you part of our passion. And when I talk about maternal and child health and what I've been doing for the past 9 years, when I think of the story of this lady, it motivates me to continue. I was listening to Robbie now talking about homeless population and some of the things that they are doing. One of the questions I was thinking of asking her is, what about sustaining it? How do you want to keep on doing this? And that's why I like sharing this story, because at times, even students will ask me, why do you do all this? What motivates you? What makes you to wake up very early in the morning and stay late at night, trying to write for grants, trying to get money to make sure that those programs are done? Then I would say it's because of stories of ladies like this. And I'm not really using her true name, but I will call her Mary. And this was in 2008 when I started here at Calvin College. I started in 2007. So when I got to the department, the first thing I asked was, what are the problems in the community? I've just finished my PhD, and the focus was on promoting early recognition of pregnancy. How do we help women, you know, when they're pregnant, to have good prenatal care and to have healthy babies? That's all that I've been doing. So when I came to the department and I asked, one of my colleagues who is working in the community, Gail Zandi, she now said, you know what, we have this wonderful community here in Grand Rapids where we have diverse population, and that one of the concerns that they've identified was unintended pregnancy. And I have some slides on that, and I will talk more about even our neighborhoods and the distribution. But one of the studies that we now did early, just to identify what are the issues in the community, because we don't just want to get into the community and just start doing something. So it was this lady that was part of our focus group, you know, in 2008. And I had them, you know, I remember picking this lady because she needed a ride. She needed car seats, so I needed to get 2 car seats. That was part of the instruction given to me, that you are the one who will be picking this lady. Get 2 car seats, because there are 2 babies that will be attending that focus group. So when I got to her house, you know, just looking at the whole environment, I saw a lot of helplessness. And, you know, and I picked up those 2 babies. So we got them into my vehicle. We went for the focus group. And she was expecting a 3rd one at that point in time. And during that focus group, I asked the women that, have you recognized your pregnancy? That was a question. And what are those factors that would influence your recognition and your acceptance of your pregnancy? And this lady said, and she looked at me because she was really sitting close to me. So I still have that image till today. She said, you know what? This one that I'm even carrying, I've not recognized it. Because I'm still thinking of those 2 babies, how I'm going to take care of them. And I remember that day, I cried all the way to my house. I cried all the way back to my work the following day. You know, I met with my the chair of my department. I told her, I cried for a long time because I was just thinking of the old picture. What I saw in the physical setting, getting into that house, with all, you know, the house looking very dirty, very disorganized. So you know that some things are happening. And this lady needed me to get her car seat. So I know that there are lots of things that are happening. And she now said, you know what, I've not even recognized this unborn child. And my cry was related to that unborn child. Now what will be the future of this child? That right when that child is still in pregnancy, the mother is saying, I've not even accepted that child. And it's because she's thinking of the financial implication. How am I going to take care of this one? Because I have 2 at home. And so at times when I'm designing and we're talking about program and I remember this lady, then I'm like, you know what? We really need to equip women with the right information to make right decisions. There are times, you know, there is a lot happening in the community that even some of my students, they can get overwhelmed at times. Then I will say, you know what? You can solve all the problems, but the one that God has directed you to, focus on that and do it very well. And in this situation now, he has directed us to women in the community. So what are those issues and how can we help women to deal with some of those challenges so that she will have healthy pregnancy, she will have healthy baby, and she will have a hopeful future. You know, and then she'll be able to think of, yes, there is a hope for this child. And this child, you know, God will give me the grace to take care of our child. So that's why I like sharing the story of this lady, because till now, anytime I think of her, it influences a lot of things that we are doing. And here at Calvin College, our mission statement is really for us to equip students to think deeply. So I'm hoping that even with this session, we'll be able to think deeply and then to act justly. Because a lot of the activities we are doing in the community is about acting justly and to live wholeheartedly. How could we help, you know, people in our community to live wholeheartedly? And then for us to be agents of renewal in the world that God has put us in. And that world could be here in Grand Rapids, it could be Los Angeles, it could be Minnesota, it could be anywhere in the world. But that world where I am, that community, that church, how could I be that agent of renewal? How could I look outside the box, think outside the box, how I could, you know, help people to live wholeheartedly? And that's all we're doing here at Calvin, and we have students involved in most of our programs. So in the Department of Nursing, we have our curriculum is designed in such a way that we focus on community. You know, we have a community-based curriculum. So whatever posting, whether it's maternal and child health, mental health, we encourage our students to work in the community. And our philosophy is really based on the community-based participatory research. You know, CBPR is, I would say it's an approach to research, and you know, an approach to even almost anything that we can think of. Not only research program, any program we want to do, it's more of working with the people instead of you trying to say, oh, we know what your problems are and we're just going to deal with it. And as a congregation, we need to do that. That's the only way we can truly make that impact, something that is relevant. If we want to be relevant. So our residents, you know, they are involved in all that we are doing. And that's very important. And they help in defining research questions. And they help us with data collection. So I'll be sharing a lot about some of those activities. Another thing that is important with community-based participatory research is that you have to also present results. You've designed that program with the residents. You know, just like Robin, since I've discussed with you, I might be referring to you, if you don't mind. Just like Robin, I'm talking about the homeless population. To design something relevant for the homeless population, we first need to ask them, what do you need? What are your concerns? And then after asking them, we can now move on with that program. And then we could also evaluate the effectiveness of a program. And that's all we're doing in the nursing department with our community-based activities. We ask them to help us design solutions to all those problems that they've identified. And I have this table just to show to us our community here in Grand Rapids, where we're working in the nursing department. We have three main neighborhoods. Neighborhood one is mostly African-American, about 82%. And then our neighborhood two, that's Hispanic, mostly Hispanic, and that's our Creston Bell and our Bottenites. We have Baxter Madison, we have Bottenites, and we have Creston Bell now. So our third neighborhood, we have mostly white. And I remember when we started, you know, when I joined the department in 2007, I was like, wow, we have this diverse population that, you know, God could really use us to minister to. And we have a fourth neighborhood now that has just been added, and that's outside, and we have mostly homeless people in that neighborhood. So we have four right now. Okay. So the Department of Nursing in 2002, they conducted a need assessment. That was how everything started. Conducted a need assessment just to know what is really the problem in the community. How can we be relevant? And they listed different conditions. And one of the conditions that they listed was actually unintended pregnancy, as well as depression. And my own area really is, like I said, maternal and child health. So I was really attracted to that concern, that if unintended pregnancy is really a concern, how could we address that? But in the department, we have so many programs that are going on. I will eventually be focusing on what I'm doing, but I just want to mention some of them. Like Professor Gil Zandi, she is the one who, she's coordinating our community health worker program. Because when they conducted that need assessment, and she actually started that, she conducted that need assessment in 2002 to 2004, our residents said, we would like to have someone from our neighborhood who could be our representative. And that's how the Community at Worker program started. And it's still running till today, where community, you know, residents, they will be representative, and they will work with the nursing department, they will work with nursing students to go on home visit. So we do that as part of our curriculum. You know, so they go every semester. Then in 2008, that was when I now conducted a focus group. So women's health, which was one of the concerns identified, we decided to address that. Then Dr. Dumbos in 2010 decided to focus on mental health. So we have another wonderful program being coordinated by Dr. Dumbos now, focusing on women supporting women. How do we deal with depression in the community? And we have a group of women, they will come together and they encourage each other. So it's a support group. And that one has been going on since that time. And just this year, we just started our girls' health program and we started health camp. I will talk a little bit more about that later. And I'm coordinating that. So those are the things we are doing to respond to those identified problems, you know, based on what our community said. So it means as a congregation, we might really need to identify what are the concerns in our neighborhoods and how do we deal with them. So I talked about this focus group in 2008. That was the story of Mary. And we had 41 women. They were part of that focus group. And they made some recommendations that, okay, you know what? You've identified this problem. These are some of the recommendations. And I have a recording here just to show to us some of the things that they said. Women identified all those things. Teach us about our body. We want to know about ovulation. So those are exact quotes from that focus group that we have on that screen. So in 2009, we decided to respond to that. You know, we presented that result back to them. That okay, this is what we found from our focus group. What you said, and what do you think we should do? So that report, we published that one in a journal just to make it known to everybody that these are the recommendations from the women in our community. And from our meetings with the women, they helped us to design a pilot. So then we said, well, when you say know your body or ovulate, what do you want us to teach you? So that's when they talked about menstrual cycle. And in 2010, we decided to conduct a pilot study. Know your body. So we decided to use the exact word from the focus group, and it was designed with the women. So we sat down with them and we asked them, okay, what should be the content of this education? And they suggested that we should do some things. And it focused on, what they suggested that they should do, focus on the reproductive system, because that's how they felt like they'll be able to recognize their pregnancies early, and that it will be able to reduce unplanned pregnancy. Because when they know their body, they know when they ovulate, they know when they're having their menstrual flow, that all that will help them to plan effectively. So we now designed a bigger study that we called Prenup. You know, it's still under the general focus of Women's Health Promotion Project. And Prenup means Preconception Reproductive Knowledge Program. So we're just focusing on how do we promote women's knowledge before they ever got pregnant. And those are some of the objectives that we have, so that they will be able to recognize the pregnancy early, they will have increased knowledge, because those are the things that these women asked for. And we designed an educational intervention that focused on female reproductive system, menstrual cycle. This is actually one of the charts that we have in our manual that we use to teach our women. And when we designed the manual, we asked our community health workers to look at it, just to make sure that we're speaking the right language. So we asked them, what do you think of this manual? Do you think it will make sense? Then we have a lot of Hispanic population, so we had to translate it, give it back to the committed workers to make sure it's the right language for our Hispanic population. In the community, for this particular program, what we do is we have a manual, just like I said, and in that manual, we have female anatomy, a menstrual cycle, ovulation. We have charts to show to them, you know, all those hormonal changes when they occur. That is part of the manual. And then we have a kit, we call it Knowing Your Body Kit. And in that kit, we have ovulation test kit for them to identify when they actually ovulate. It's similar to pregnancy test kit. And when we're even designing this program, we ask women, okay, when it comes to test kit, just like pregnancy test kit, do you want to pee in a car? Do you want to pee on it? We asked for all those details, and they gave us. You know. Then when we designed the program, we said, will you want to come to the clinic in the community, or do you want us to come into your homes? They said, no, come into our homes. So actually, we're conducting home visit. So instead of taking them to clinic, we actually go. So our nursing students and community health workers, they're the ones doing this. So we teach them this, and we teach them also about healthy lifestyle. That's my next slide. And with the ovulation test kit, they can easily, after teaching them, and they know when there is a drop, you know, so they can easily identify around that time. And we have a calendar to go with it. We have digital thermometer for them to check their temperature. We teach them all that, so that they will be able to identify that particular time that they are ovulating. And then we also teach them about healthy lifestyle. So we talk about nutrition and smoking, alcohol, you know, all those things that they are not really good if you are thinking of getting pregnant. And then we also talk about weight management. And then in the community, we link them with available resources. That's another thing that we could even do as a congregation. If it's like, okay, I can't start a program, how do I link people in my neighborhood with available resources? Because we discovered that they didn't have enough access to care. Some of them didn't know where to go for dental care, you know, so we will refer them. So whatever we find during home visit, then we tell them, you know what? So we have a long list in that manual of different doctor places and where they could even get free care, subsidized care. We have all the list. So we share that with them just to increase their access to health care. That's part of what we do. And just like I said, the program is done with community health workers and students. So they will go into homes. And I have a couple of videos of some of our students, because the program is so big that I felt like I shouldn't be dealing with talking. So I have some videos of some of the students that I will share with us. And we started this in 2012, And every year we have an average of 64 nursing students in our department, and they are involved in going into those homes. So when we started, we had to train all our students. That's when I discovered that I really need to emphasize, when are you going to have a dip in your the cycle, so that you know how to teach the women and all that. So we had to go into all those details. Then we have research assistants. Those research assistants, they are paid both by Calvin as well as external funding. I got a funding from Robert Wood Johnson Foundation to do that program. I remember you talked about you have a grant. So if there is a grant, you know, that's always a great blessing. So we got a grant through Robert Wood Johnson Foundation to teach our men in the community. And with that, we could get research assistant that could continue when our school is not in session, because we have to continue during summer hours. Like now we have research assistants who are working on this particular program up to now. But now they have been funded by Calvin College. So most of our community activities, they are also funded through Calvin College, because we believe it's important for us, just like I said, the earlier slide about agents of renewal, to make that impact in our community. And then, okay, these are some of the sessions, some of our training sessions at the beginning of a semester, every spring semester. That's when our senior nursing students, because they are getting prepared to graduate, they've already gone through OB rotation, so they know the content, and we are sure that they will be able to effectively teach the women. In terms of anatomy, they knew reproductive system, they knew more about the anatomy, because we have 86%, 78%, 82% got those things right. But when it comes to the knowledge of a menstrual cycle, you see that only 50% of the women actually got it right. Then for number of days for a menstrual blood flow, about 80% of them got it right. And for 3 to 4 eggs, you know, about 79% of them, they got it wrong. You know, they chose the wrong answer. But for our group, 83% of us got it right, you know. So for this group, all our scores, they are over 80%, 92, 92, 92. So that's why I said this group, we know it, yeah, more than our women. And for the ovulation, 52%. For this one, 32%. But for our group, it was 92%. That was really, really good. So that's why I decided to just do that, so that we have a feel of what we teach them. But after teaching them, we are still doing the program, so it's actually 2 years. We follow women for 2 years, and we teach them, and then we ask them questions just to be sure that they master the content, and we've seen increase in their knowledge. So there is a big change now, and a big jump from 0 months to 3 months, because we've been following them for 2 years. Every month for the first 6 months. Then after that, every 6 months, we just go in to check in on them. How are you doing? Do you have questions? And then we clarify things for them. And we've been able to see that consistent increase for 12 months. But we're following them for 24 months just to also see what is happening in terms of pregnancy, you know. And we discover that they're recognizing their pregnancies very early. So we're really happy about that, that really we're able to make that impact. You can see this one, only 1/3 of them got that right. But 83% of us in this room, we got it right. A particular question. And then this one also, just half of them, and for us it was close to 70%. And then we asked them about hormones. They didn't really know so much about the hormones, so 24% actually got it right when it comes to progesterone, but for us it was 64%. So generally we discovered that they had a low knowledge of the ovulation time, and we discovered that they know more about reproductive anatomy, and based on that, we decided to teach them. And we taught them, and like I said, I don't have all the reports about the increase in knowledge, but we noticed that there is that big jump. But while we were teaching these moms, they now said, you know what, we want you to teach our daughters. So that's another thing I would say, that even as a congregation, if you've been able to identify a particular need in your community, and you start addressing that community, it grows. That's what we've discovered. You just think of one problem, because now people will be asking me, what are you going to do next? I said, I don't think about it. It's actually the women themselves. So we started with prenup, and before we'll finish it, all these women, they are saying, teach our daughters. teach them very early. We even have some of our Hispanic population that they feel that this is a very sensitive topic and they don't want to talk about it. One of our community health workers, she is Hispanic, and she became so excited about it, and she started talking about it with her daughter. You know, maybe her video is here also. I hope her video is there when she talked about that, about the impact of this program, even on her, on our whole community as Hispanic. And they now said, okay, teach our daughters about this. So based on that, we decided to design a new program. So this is just starting now, this 2016. We're having our first health camp for girls, and it's going on right now. So if you want to visit, you could go to the nursing department. Now they are rounding up. This is their wrap-up time now. This is 2-3. So we started that one this summer. Health camp for girls, you know, based on what those women suggested. So people will ask, okay, what is the next one? We say, we don't know. We're just following, you know, the leading, and we follow what the resident, what they're identifying, and it's relevant to them. What is exciting about this health camp now is that community health worker that I talked about, a daughter came to me yesterday. She was at the camp. She now said, you know my mom, Alicia? I said, yes, I'm her daughter. And I remember she has talked about her daughter. That's our Hispanic community health worker. You know, so every time I see that daughter, I'm always smiling, you know, because I remember she talked about being a sensitive topic, but now she's comfortable. So that's part of the impact, not only on the women, but even our community health workers and our students and the whole community. So with the outcome, we're so excited. We have about 50 girls now on Calvin campus that they are part of this initiative. This is the first time we're doing it. And we have many professors involved. They are teaching these girls. So our focus is to promote the culture of health early amongst those girls, as well as to introduce them to the health profession. So we have professionals from, you know, nursing, medicine, speech and audiology, psychology, biology. Today, they focus on chronic diseases. So they started from cells. So all they're doing today is they've started looking through the microscope first thing in the morning to identify cells, looking at cancer cells, dealing with genetics, and from there they're now moving into bigger concept, looking at population, and then looking at chronic diseases. So what do I need to do so that I will not end up with diabetes, I will not end up, you know, with some of the chronic lung diseases, because they are talking about, that's what they are doing today. So do we have questions? Comments, discussion. So I've just focused on just one of our programs. And like I said, we have programs with homeless population also that we are working with, you know, like 2 summers ago. That one is still ongoing. That's walking program. We have walking program that we work with them downtown, you know, and that is going on. And then we have the women supporting women, and that one is focusing on how do we, you know, support women with depression and anxiety. And those women actually suggested that. They said, we would like to have other women around us so that we could talk. And then when that program, you know, Dr. Dumbos, when she started that program in the community, and from my interaction with them, she discovered that women would talk more when they are doing something. So she now introduced, you know, making bracelets into that session. So just this last spring, we had a group who graduated from that program, and they made art crafts and all that with our art department. Now we're working with art department, and they were able to make, you know, some crafts. And that's part of what we're doing. Yes.
We wanted to introduce something similar in our communities. Who do you suggest should be our collaboration partners? Hospitals, what organizations?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, it's good to look at local agencies around. Do you have community centers? Do you have neighborhood association? So we collaborate with our community center. We collaborate with local agencies. We collaborate with the health department. For example, when we wanted to start this program, our health department recruited women because we have nurse family partnership program. So all those agencies, clinics in that neighborhood, that's where to start from. And that's why up to now we're still in the neighborhood and they trust Calvin College. So wherever we go in those neighborhoods, they feel like, okay, it's not as if they've come to use us. they have come to bless us. So they open their doors for us. And that's part of what one of the students said about building trust. But we've been working with our community centers, neighborhood association, local clinics, in all those.
Appreciated how it builds trust, but it also doesn't ever shame. So where there's lack of knowledge, it's not shame, but it's rather, you know, let's figure out what do you want to learn, how can we help you, which is so important.
That's important, starting from where they are, you know, at the same level, and then walking up. And it's so interesting what you said, reminded me of some of what our students said. When they go on home visit, especially our students who are Spanish speaking, but they are not first language speakers, and they meet with some of the women, and then the women will be correcting them. So, it makes the women to feel good also and happy that, yes, I know something. And the student will say, you see now, you know that one more than me. You know, so it's as if they're learning from each other. So, that encourages women also. So most of the time, by the time they are done with the program, they are telling us, you know what, since they've been coming, they've been answering my questions, it makes me to feel, you know, that yes, I'm in control, I know what is happening to my body, and I have someone who listens.
I know you have more male nursing students now than you have before. How did that reception go, or did they have to make home visits?
Yes, they do. They go on home visit.
And they're accepting of that?
Yes, they're accepting of that, but we'll ask and confirm before we send our male students. But our Hispanic population, we are very, very careful, you know, because some of them, So I remember I had a male, one of my program coordinators was actually a male person, and we said, you know what, Andrew, don't go on home visit, especially with Hispanic women, we don't want you to scare them. So, so he focused more on office-related stuff, you know, because he was working on a full-time business. So we try to assess the situation, and if the women are okay with that, then we'll bring a male student in. And usually it will still be led by a female student. So that male student, just like what that student said, will be the person documenting and assisting, because there are times they're at the home, the kids will be crying and all that, so we need another student to spend some time with the kids. So that would be a male student who would now be that person.
Any resistance from church, like Catholic church? Any resistance from them?
No, they love it. You know, like what one of the community workers said, they love it, you know, because we're teaching them about, the focus is how to teach them how to read the calendar, how to know when your ovulation occurs, you know, so.
So no resistance in the church?
No.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. I work with Bethany Christian Services and in support with the idea that men should know, or this knowledge should be shared with men. Our African students have expressed that they wish this knowledge will also be taught to their men, the African men. So we partner with Health Department and with a nursing program with Grand Valley, and they're doing seminars with our African women and different language groups.
That's very important. Yeah, I agree with you. Because from one of our evaluations, you know, after our program, we try to evaluate and we have focus group with the women. So one of those focus group, one of the ladies said, you know what, I don't really have any female in my home. I have my son and my husband. But that this program has really helped our son, even our son, to acknowledge that, yes, there is that time of the month, you know, because she had to talk about hormonal changes and all that. So she feels that it's going to make her son to be a better man, because he knows that there are times that I have hormonal changes, I have mood swings, and you need to be respectful of that. So,
So I'm just curious, I want to know your plans for sustaining the programs.
Yes.
That is one. Two, I also want to know if you give a sense of ownership to the community members.
Yeah.
How do you engage them?
Yeah.
What are the things you ask them to do that gives them ownership?
Ownership.
And yeah. How do you engage them?
Yes, that's a good question. Like I said, we have community workers mm-hmm. who are residents.
Okay.
So they are involved in all the process.
Mm-hmm.
So they are involved even when we're designing our mm-hmm. survey. We showed it to them. What do you think about the questions? And then when we presented back, they were part of our group, you know. And like our health camp now, they are there. Because, for example, our Hispanic population, some of the girls, you know, they said, you know what, we'd like to have somebody that we're familiar with. Mm-hmm. So two of our community health workers, they are part of our health camp now, so they will go on the bus, you know, with the girls, they go to them. So they are fully involved in the whole process. So when they go on the home visit, they go with community health workers, and then by the time we run our analysis, we do that, we go back into the community. And then when it comes to recruitment, it's done mostly by them. Yeah, because our health camp, this is the first time we're running it. And I remember when I discussed it with the dean early this year, he's like, are you sure you'll be able to get kids to attend this camp? And at the end of the day now, we estimated about 50 kids, and about 55 kids were registered, you know. And now, as of yesterday, we have 49 kids. So it's like, wow, we've been able to really reach our goal. And I would say our community workers, they did a lot of that recruitment also in the middle. So they are fully involved in our work. And what you said about sustaining it, for now, Calvin College is funding a lot of this, and I wrote grant for the Bob Joseph Foundation. It was funded, and we're still planning to write more grants. And like I said, we just started the health camp also, and that one is being funded by Calvin this first year. But we believe it's also a community improvement program that we're sure we'll find a lot of people that will be interested in. Yes. For even the outcome this year, some people donated, you know, bags. Some parents, they just heard about it, and it's like, okay, we'll give bags, we'll give water bottle, you know, things like that. So we believe that next year we'll have more community partners. You have a question? Yeah,
just to speak to what she was saying before, that boys also need to have this education. Mm-hmm. Do you see this extending to maybe having a boys camp in terms of teaching them as well?
That's one of the questions they just asked me this morning, because Grand Rapids, one of the Grand Rapids journalists, they're interested in covering the health camp.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the questions that he asked. Yes, we hope to. But the thing is, we want to start, like we said, the women said, teach our daughters.
Mm-hmm.
So we are responding to that. Then, as we've done that, we can now build on that. Yes.
Has the rate of pregnancy gone up or down? And to if either way,
it has gone down.
And the babies that are being born, are they healthier?
Yes.
Based on the program?
Okay. Yes. Okay. And they recognize that pregnancies early. And I was really surprised. I was expecting more pregnancies than what we had.
If you were free to prescribe, I mean, looking at this quote, if you were to say, this is what churches need to be doing to live out this part of the gospel,
mm-hmm.
what would you say? I wish that all churches who had it in their capacity would include in their mission this kind of program. What would those programs look like?
I would say it would be good. I would wish that all churches would assess their community. Because what will work for Grand Rapids will not work for Los Angeles.
Right.
So I would say what would be important is for, you know, churches to think outside the box, look at your community.
Mm-hmm.
What is the issue there? What do we really need to deal with? And then run with that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would say. So it could be women's problem. It could be, you know, children's health. It might not be women. It might be children. It might be teenagers. And that's why for us, we are expanding from women to girls, you know. So, and we might go to boys as it grows, because that is what the community. So I would say for the church just need listening ears. We just need to listen to that community.